KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. In this hour of Forum, traditional Thanksgiving calls for turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, and lots of gravy. But when your family's from Mexico, the Philippines, or China, how do you celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday? Or how do vegetarians or vegans replace the turkey? We'll be talking with local chefs about Thanksgiving fusion meals. We want to hear your own unique family traditions, or about the time you spent Thanksgiving dinner with friends whose cultures didn't include the holiday. Thanksgiving 2.0, that's our topic in this hour of Forum, and we hope you'll join us right after this. And welcome to this hour of Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and today for Michael Krasny. Well, chances are, before the week is up, you'll have eaten some turkey, or if you're vegetarian at least, some mashed potatoes and cranberry sauce. Thanksgiving, as we celebrate it, is a distinctly North American holiday, but millions of Californians come from places where that holiday didn't exist, and yet it's hard to avoid Thanksgiving in the U.S., and this hour we're talking about cross-cultural Thanksgivings. Think turkey with mole, or maybe hoisin sauce. We want to hear your stories or even recipes for internationalizing what many say is their favorite holiday, or any just questions you may have, because we've got a real all-star lineup of chefs with us this morning. Charles Phan is owner and chef of the renowned Vietnamese restaurant Slanted Door. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Also here, Joey Altman, chef at Miss Pearl's Jam House at Jack London Square.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Also here, Annie Somerville from Greens, the venerable vegetarian restaurant at Fort Mason. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you brought some vegetables with you.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a second. And joining us on the phone, Douglas Keene, chef at the award-winning Cyrus in Healdsburg. Good morning to you, Douglas Keene.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're great. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
So let me just a general question to all of you. What are your thoughts about Thanksgiving as a food day? Is it something you look forward
to? It's the Super Bowl of meals.
Joey Altman, yeah. You're open this Thursday.
We are open,
Pearls.
For sure. Yeah, we're doing a really nice blend of traditional and then Cajun, Creole, and Caribbean. So people can come and have we're doing a family-style menu where people can order three different types of proteins. You can have all of them or just a couple of them or just one of them.
What are they?
And, we have duck, ham, and turkey, and each one of them will get a very sort of a loving treatment. The turkey will be brined and we'll get a nice, more traditional style flavoring. And then we're doing a cocoa chili rubbed duck and then a glazed ham that's going to have like a sweet and savory spicing going on. And then a bunch of side dishes to choose from. So it's a real sort of mix and match for animals tailored to your family's, and dislikes. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
All inspired by Caribbean cooking or cuisine?
Caribbean, tropical, Cajun, Creole. The executive chef who I work with at Miss Pearl's, Robert Barker, used to work with Emeril Lagasse. He's from New Orleans, and he lived in Texas for a long time. So he's got a lot of those flavors under his belt and is looking forward to breaking them out.
And you call it the Super Bowl of holidays.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like, when people think about the one meal where you just plan on like loosening your belt and digging in and tucking into a full meal and just spending the whole day on the couch, getting back up, going to have some more food, go back to the couch. And I mean, it's all about, the meal that day. Nothing else is going on.
Now, Greens is closed on Thanksgiving.
Greens will be closed.
Yeah. Have you ever been open on that holiday?
Not yet. Not in 29 years.
It's a tough holiday for vegetarians, isn't it?
Well, I don't think so. I actually think it's a wonderful time to eat lots of different kinds of vegetables, and you can actually do it without spending a lot of money too. Because the markets right now, it's a good time to get out and support your local farmers market. And as I found this Saturday, there are just all kinds of we've had beautiful warm weather. There haven't been a lot of rains, so we have all the fall winter produce coming in, but we still have remnants of late summer and early fall.
What are some of the more memorable entrees at vegetarian Thanksgivings you've been to? And are you vegetarian, by the way?
I am. How about this? I occasionally, when offered, will have a little chicken or fish, but rarely.
Yeah.
So I consider myself to be basically a vegetarian. So memorable entrees. Well, I think you mean that I would think of preparing for Thanksgiving?
That or you that actually have meals you've sat down to.
Meals that I've sat down to. Well, I think anytime you make like a beautiful potato and sweet potato gratin with cheese and a little cream, maybe some breadcrumbs, or you could stuff squash, certainly portobello mushrooms. You could make a beautiful salad of all kinds of grilled mushrooms. And I think for me, in terms of how I think about vegetables, it's not necessarily having like one main dish, but it's just having an abundance of all kinds of dishes that are different flavors, textures, exciting, like sautéed greens.
No tofurkey or whatever that is. That
probably not at Greens. Probably not at Greens, and probably not at my table either.
Charles Phan, you're from San Francisco, right? You grew up in the Mission District?
Yeah, originally born in Vietnam. Got here when I was 13, about 30 years ago.
And how did your family merge those traditions, or did you?
It's funny. My first Thanksgiving dinner was cooked. I was trying to get my family to assimilate to the culture when we got to San Francisco in 1977 in Chinatown, and I decided to cook the entire dinner out of Gourmet magazine. And that's a lot of my training was really come from those just trial. It's a very special holiday. This is the only day that we get to not cook Vietnamese food, and we get the entire family sitting at the same table. As you know, we're open 7 days a week, and we hardly have a lot of chances to sit down and have a meal with all the sibling, all the extended family. So Thanksgiving is really important that we close. Some staff joining us for the dinner. But
do you do it at the restaurant, even though it's closed?
Yeah, sometimes because we'll have 60 people coming over, so our house can't hold 60 people.
Do you have people knocking on the door saying, you know, thinking they're open? Or you...
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, people knock on the door and we'll pour the curtain out. So my thing is really celebrate the culture because I see food as culture, and I wouldn't dare not eating turkey on Thanksgiving Day. And
what do you mean you wouldn't dare? Like that would just be...
It wouldn't be Thanksgiving dinner in our household and family because we embrace both our tradition. Let's say Chinese New Year, we would have a Chinese New Year's feast. And at the same time, we want Christmas and Thanksgiving so that we would have the traditional turkey and cranberry. But every year we would try to do something unique. Let's say do a Creole, a Southern style stuffing. Or last Thanksgiving, I got a dinner roll recipe from Chef at Sports. This great buttermilk, you know, bun that everybody just, you know, end up baking sheet pans of it.
How resistant was your family when you first came over to adopting sort of that American traditional Thanksgiving?
I think Dad and Mom was, you know, not too crazy about eating all these weird food, but they do love the idea that we all sit down and behaving like a family. So they were adopting it. They weren't Christian like Christmas, you know. So I was the oldest kid, so I was really bringing home all these new ideas. I remember first Christmas, I went and bought everybody a present because nobody buy a present, and I buy myself a present. pretend that, you know, everybody get a little present, but it wasn't much. But at least the try to embrace this culture. And over the year, this kind of stuck, and we look forward to these because it's hard to celebrate Chinese New Year here because the street's not shut down, store's not closed, things seem normal.
Kind of half-hearted.
So holiday is really important because the scene has to be right, you know. You can see Christmas, you know, nobody's on the street. I mean, in China, Chinese New Year, therefore it's a bad time for you to visit China in Chinese New Year because nothing's open. So that kind of, I think it's important that we all need these break in our lives, and it's a mark of these tradition. Even though it's not our own, we just embrace it because the air, the smell, the change in scenery, the reef, the Delancey Street tree lots, you know.
It all adds up.
It's all add up.
That's Charles Fan from Slanted Door. Also with us this hour, Joey Altman from Miss Pearl's Jam House and Annie Somerville from Greens. We're going to bring Douglas Keene in on the conversation in a second, but I want to invite all of you to give us a call, join the conversation, tell us about your family, how you celebrate Thanksgiving. Maybe you have a question. You're a little worried about something that you're cooking on Thanksgiving. You might want to get some advice. The number to call, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Or you can email us, forum@kqed.org. Douglas Keene, up in Healdsburg this morning, you participated in a bake-off, a cook-off with Michael Minna. It was in the Chronicle this past week in the food section. And you created a Asian-themed Thanksgiving. Tell us, how did you approach that?
Well, I think the reason I did it is because, one, I like to eat that way. And I think, like Joey said, it's like the Super Bowl of eating that day. And as you keep eating so much food, there becomes a palate fatigue. And with some of the ingredients that I incorporated into the meal, with the acids and the glazes, it kind of perks your palate back up, and it makes it more easy to eat a lot more, I guess.
Give us an example of that.
Instead of a traditional gravy, I did a hoisin glaze on the actual turkey. So we use black beans and some dark soy sauce, a little bit of vinegar, cloves, sesame oil, some hot sauce, and brown sugar and lime juice. And so that just kind of it ups the ante on how much flavor that you have in that dish.
Let me just look at some of the other things on your menu. Meyer lemon and miso soup, roasted turkey breast with hoisin sauce, as you mentioned, and confit of leg, sushi rice, stuffing, green cardamom ice cream. What was the hardest part? Which course was the hardest part for you to figure out?
Well, the turkey is very tricky. I have a philosophy that turkey should not be cooked whole. I think the legs and the breasts are just different muscles, and they have different fat contents, different bone structure. And so you throw that whole turkey, and it looks beautiful to bring a whole turkey out and carve it, but the breast is always overcooked or the legs are undercooked. So I break the two in half. So we cook the breast separately, and then we actually confit our turkey legs, very much like you would a duck confit, and that kind of keeps them moist and juicy.
And anything else in terms of the dessert? I mean, we always think of pumpkin pie and, pecan pie, those kinds of things. You went with green cardamom ice cream. And I forget, did you have a pie with your...
Yeah, we did a pumpkin pie on the bottom of it, and we used some of the green cardamom spice in there. And I made it a little bit less flour-based. It was a little more custard-like, so it was really rich. And then the green cardamom ice cream was just a play on vanilla ice cream. You still have to have a little tradition.
Annie Somerville, what are you making for this Thanksgiving? Are you going to be cooking yourself?
I am going to be cooking. So I'm getting together with family and friends, and I'm going to be stuffing some poblano chilies, so roasting them, and then stuffing them with butternut squash and some poblanos, some grilled onions, a little cheddar, some pumpkin seeds, cilantro, serving that with kind of a nice smoky chili sauce. And then
south of the border.
A little. We're going south of the border. And then I'll also be making a salad, of course, with beautiful lettuces and bitter greens. Watermelon radishes, cucumbers, a little Meyer lemon vinaigrette. So I'm going in that direction. And then others will be bringing some other more traditional dishes, including mashed potatoes and roasted butternut squash. And instead of turkey, there's going to be albacore.
Tuna.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. Let's go to the phones now. And again, that number, if you want to join us, 866-733-6786. And we've got Jim on the line in San Rafael. Hi, Jim.
Hi, this is Tim. Someone mentioned brining the turkey, and I was wondering if we might be able to get the ingredients for brining the turkey. Also, one year we had a bunch of friends have Thanksgiving, and everything came out of Paul Perdon's cookbook, and it was one of the most memorable meals I ever had.
What was memorable about it?
Oh, the wonderful deep flavors of that type of cooking. It was just wonderful. It was not something that the American family usually puts on the table.
The amount of butter you can force into one meal has been pushed to the limit.
I'm sure it raised my cholesterol level.
It's fantastic, though, isn't it?
Oh, it was.
So brining, just in case people don't know, right. You're immersing it in water, salted water.
Salt and sugar solution, and then you can play on that with various aromatics. Most people put some herbs like thyme, juniper, peppercorns. You could bay leaf. You can go a completely different direction. You can do Southwestern with a lot of chilies and cumin and garlic, or you can do an Indian with like curry and mustard and tamarind.
So it's absorbing the flavors and the moisture.
Right. What it does is it's sort of the way ham gets cured and when it's brined, it has that sort of juicy, sweet, and salty flavor going all the way through. The same thing is happening with the turkey. And a lot of people like to do that because they find traditional turkey a little bit on the bland side and on the dry side. One thing, real important thing is when you brine a turkey, you have to refrigerate it. Some people think you just put it in the brine on your counter and you leave it overnight. Not a good idea. It's not a preservative. It needs to be refrigerated.
You got to have a big refrigerator.
Yes, you do. And what I do is I take cooler chests, like ice chests, and I put some ice on the bottom, put a towel on top of that, and then put my food in on top of that. So I basically make a makeshift refrigerator, and I'll put like my vegetables and maybe some other things in there, making more room in my refrigerator.
And how long do you have to brine it for? I mean, you can do it.
You
can
do it anywhere from
a
couple hours to a couple days. But the more you do it, the more sort of pickled it or brined it can get, and then it can get just like too hammy, I think.
Yeah.
I think a few hours on brine is nice, but then also I agree with Doug. It's if you really want your meat of your turkey to come out right, you need to cook them separately. It's not going to be as beautiful, but you can also do a different type of presentation where you carve the turkey and you have it out on a platter and then you have your legs separately displayed. It could look as attractive. It won't look Norman Rockwell, but it'll be tastier. I can promise you that.
Charles Fenn.
Also, I think that if you can keep it under 12 pounds instead of getting the 40 or 30-pound turkey.
Because it's just more manageable.
It's just really hard when you get that size of a bird. And also, if you can find some heritage, really interesting bird that there's a whole, as our, I think, farmer are now looking into a heritage breed.
And what does that mean?
They're just not your traditional mass-produced bird. Buy good bird that have good vegetarian diet and that sort of thing. Brining, essentially, you're getting the salt inside the meat, and the meat would have some flavor. And it will help you when you roast them not getting dry. But I find that it's very hard to do a 30 or 25-pound turkey, do it right.
Yeah. Tim, does that answer your question?
Thanks very much. I find that a 5-gallon bucket fits very nicely inside the ice chest, and you put the ice around it and works real well.
Good luck.
Thanks very much.
Let's go back to the phones now, and Ian is on the line from Seattle. Hi, Ian.
Hi. I'm a vegetarian, and my friend is a meat eater, my girlfriend, and we're doing our first Orphans Thanksgiving up here in Seattle. I was wondering what some good ideas were for vegetarian appetizers or canapés were for the holiday season.
Well, Annie, I guess we can go to you first, but I'm sure the others have ideas too.
I think there are a lot of things. So you're saying like a little hors d'oeuvre just to start the meal?
Precisely so.
Okay. I would, if your friend eats cheese, because I always feel like cheese is a good part of vegetarian diet. Maybe you could do like slices of thick wedges of fuyu persimmons or Asian pears or a really good crisp apple and put a little dab of goat cheese or fromage blanc on there and then maybe some pistachios, freshly cracked toasted walnuts or almonds. Maybe some salted almonds would be a good start. You can certainly do any kind of toasted bread. Like how about toasted bread with a little blue cheese and walnuts and then maybe like a little pear confit that you could also serve on toast.
Do you feel constricted, confined?
Not at all.
Good. And Ian,
I think most people are finding that vegetarian cooking is, especially with the farmers markets being so just burgeoning all over the place, that the opportunities to do meatless meals are just so great. And I think they're more exciting as chefs like Annie are showing us that vegetables have a lot more personality than people give them credit for.
Yeah.
And also, it's Charles. Not necessarily. I mean, as you know, in Asia, the Buddhist cooking, a lot of dishes does not involve sometimes with no vegetable, with rice dough and texture dumpling, little vegetable. So, you know, when we think of vegetable like a daikon rice cake, it's cooking up like a polenta cake. You don't see the vegetable anymore. It's not always a pile of spinach when you talk about vegetarian cooking. In Buddhist cooking, they use tofu, fermented tofu. They don't use cheese. So there's a lot of different ways for you to flavor things.
And entrees with much less meat. That are, instead of just the meat, there's
no. These are meat. No meat.
Yeah, that's no meat.
No meat at all.
But a lot of Asian dishes, though, too, will have just a little bit.
Right, right. But if you also, that's an area and Buddhist cooking and Songji in Japanese Buddhist cooking is amazing when it comes to those. In fact, some of them doesn't even include garlic and onion because of the Buddhist teaching.
Yeah. Well, I hope that gives our callers some ideas up in Seattle. Of course, seafood is big up in Seattle, and this time of year, I'm sure there's a lot of
and also wild mushrooms.
Wild
so
mushrooms.
If you're not having mushrooms as part of your main meal, then you can do something wonderful with some wild mushrooms like the chanterelles. If you can get the porcini, you can grill those up. You can roast them.
Risotto would be great.
Little risotto cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we've got an email here from Anna in San Diego. She writes, growing up strapped for cash in New Orleans and southern Louisiana, my dad hunted ducks with a bow and arrow. So Thanksgiving and Christmas has been spent feasting on duck and orange sauce, wild rice with oysters and mushrooms, and asparagus with hollandaise sauce. I had green bean casserole for the first time when I was 18, and I still don't understand what all the fuss is about. Douglas writes, when my friend and I were hitchhiking across the Sahara in 1973, we got stuck in the middle of Mauritania and had to ride the iron ore train from, and I'm going to mispronounce this, from Zarate to Chum. It was Thanksgiving, and all we had to celebrate was a can of Spanish sardines and a can of Vienna sausages, but it was still a Thanksgiving feast for us. And Monica in San Francisco writes, I'm the only vegan in my family, but the family enjoys vegan cuisine and respects my beliefs enough to celebrate Thanksgiving with a completely vegan meal. No one misses a boring old turkey. Joey.
My family would run me out of town if I ever said, hey, folks, we're going to do a vegan Thanksgiving. Yeah, not with you or not. No, I would be flying solo if I tried to do that. My family loves the traditional turkey, and they love, you know, doing some other untraditional things. But I think, you know, when we do Thanksgiving, I make a variety of dishes offering opportunities to any, you know, palate to enjoy themselves. You know, it's really important to really make sure you accommodate your guests, because it's all about bringing everybody into your house and creating an atmosphere where people can just relax, have a good time with one another, and not be stressed out. Is there something for me to eat? There's plenty. That's the given.
Yeah, a lot of options.
And that's the Thanksgiving. Plenty of options, plenty of food, and just relax and enjoy each other's company.
Vince in San Francisco, we're a little short on time before the break. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a fan of Joseph Campbell, and he sort of talks about holidays that is referring back to a beginning time. And basically, Thanksgiving celebrates surviving the starvation of the first year in America. And you've made it a year, and there's a great celebration. And I think that's one of the reasons newcomers especially have to have a more traditional Thanksgiving. After they've been here some time, they can, vary it and bring in their traditions into it. And I think it's important to have American products in your meal.
All right. Thanks for that thought. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to continue our conversation about Thanksgiving dinner. And you're welcome to join us, of course, 866-733-6786, and your email to forum@kqed.org. And our guests, Charles Phan, Joey Altman, Douglas Keene, and Annie Somerville, will be with us right after the break. Stay with us. And welcome back to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny, and we're talking about Thanksgiving, some of the traditional and not-so-traditional ways that you and your family and all of us celebrate Thanksgiving. And with us this hour, some of the finest chefs in the Bay Area. Charles Phan, owner and chef of the renowned Vietnamese restaurant Slanted Door. Also Douglas Keene, chef at Cyrus up in Healdsburg. Annie Somerville from Greens, and Joey Altman from Ms. Pearl's Jam House over in Jack London Square. Let's go to the phones. We've got a call from San Francisco. Jessica is on the line. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I just wanted to call and add to the Super Bowl of feast analogy, just because growing up in a Korean American family, we ended up, when I was younger, my mom kind of made a makeshift Thanksgiving dinner because she never really worked with turkey. But as I got older, I kind of took on the role of making the traditional Thanksgiving meal with turkey and stuffing and gravy. But then kind of appeasing the older adults and having a traditional Korean meal also on the side because they needed something spicy like kimchi and other things like that. So then it almost ended up being like a dual feast of two totally different meals all at the same time.
So you didn't merge the two. You just had both available.
Yeah. So because I think I was much more of an American traditionalist where I always wanted turkey and mashed potatoes, but then my parents and their friends would always end up kind of feeling like they were missing something by just eating turkey and gravy. So we ended up having a separate Korean meal on the side, too. So now it's kind of become a new tradition where we actually have two different kinds of meals at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
And do you have friends over to celebrate with you?
Yeah. Lots of also because most of my immediate family is in Korea, it becomes more of my parents and their friends and their kids, and so it's kind of multi-generational because they have their friends and then myself and the kind of like the children, I guess. We're all mostly grew up in the States, and so we kind of have makeshift family, a big family, and it's like, seven or eight families that all end up together.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. And have a good Thanksgiving. Charles Phan, how about you? You said that when you came over, your family came over from Vietnam, you really were pushing them in that direction of having the traditional Thanksgiving. Do they now sort of, have they adopted that pretty much?
Yes, very much. I remember the first dinner, they were just see if those things are edible or not when I cooked my first Thanksgiving dinner.
What was the most perplexing of things that they saw on the table? Is it
This giant bird as you know, in our tradition, breast meat is least favorite, and here it is, this bird's got gigantic breast meat,
is that a cultural thing or just a flavor?
Texture is really important in our culture, but I think it's really over the year. It seems like the only time we cook turkey is Thanksgiving. So we look forward to carrying that tradition. Like I said, I try to make it something a little interesting by doing different stuffing or, let's say, from the South or just a classic butter roasting turkey. But we would do different, let's say, stuffing for the bird, either Creole with oyster, or next year we can do it more with let's say a sticky rice stuffing but really the whole idea with this tradition is to have turkey and cranberry. But sometimes you can really do something simple. Like last year, the big hit was the roll, was these buttermilk roll that everybody just craving for because especially we're talking about how times are tough and you need to cut back.
Economize.
But if you find a great cornbread or biscuit recipe, boy, I can just have that and maybe a little ham, a little jam.
I suspect, Joey, there's going to be some cornbread on the menu.
Oh, absolutely.
Pearl's.
We do a skillet cornbread that we cook in our big pizza oven, and it comes out piping hot and crunchy and caramelized on the outside and nice and moist and runny on the inside. So it's buttery with a honey butter, a little flecks of roasted chili for a little bit of spice, a little green onion, and then chunks of corn. We also puree the corn into the batter, so it gives it this nice creamy corn flavor as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
What are the thoughts do you have, any of you, about economizing a bit, around the holidays this year in particular? I mean, it's so many people are hurting, out of work, worried about losing their jobs. What are some ways that making your own rolls and bread, certainly
sure,
one way
to
save some money. Any other thoughts about that?
Potatoes go a long way. So I always say potatoes. You can do all kinds of things, like buy three or four different varieties of potatoes, and you can roast those up with herbs and garlic and some olive oil. That's delicious, not expensive at all. Anything with any of the winter squashes. You can make a beautiful soup. You can roast those. You can stuff them. And there's so many different squashes with different flavors and different textures. And then, of course, one of my favorites, greens, collard greens, chard, kale, spinach, the bitter greens. Those can be sautéed. Some of them can be grilled. Some of them can, like a collard, could wrap, you know, around a risotto, or, you know, they're all just a lot of different
things. A little imagination.
Yeah. And I think for you know, all the talk of turkey and that kind of center of the plate, for me, as a person who, you know, because my life is wrapped around vegetables, it's having so many different kinds of vegetables on the table and cooked in different kinds of ways.
Let's go back to the phones. Peter, back to turkey. Peter in Berkeley. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Great
morning.
Show.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask your guests if any of them have suggestions for dealing with a wild turkey.
Oh.
Well, first you have to tackle it.
Oh, I thought he was talking about the alcohol wild turkey, because I've got a great cocktail for you.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
Cooking it, cooking it. Not me.
Yeah.
Well, like any wild game, it typically will be leaner and a little bit stronger in flavor. So it's sort of good and bad. The bad is when it's leaner, it could dry out a lot easier. So you need to cook it a little bit hotter, but less time, so you're not going to dry it out. And then also, because of the stronger flavor, it gives you an opportunity to have stronger flavored accompaniments. You know, if you think about how the turkey flavor is typically sort of like a mid-range flavor, you can have all these high and low notes going around it. With a wild turkey, it's going to be a little bit stronger, so you're going to want to have more bright notes to sort of accent that or harmonize with that, so it's a little bit, you know, more balanced.
Peter, where do you get your wild turkey?
Well, I don't know if I should say so on the air.
Then
but,
don't.
I live in the East Bay where we have wild turkeys. In fact, yesterday there were four of them at my bedroom window.
So you just went out there with a shotgun?
probably shouldn't.
We'll leave it at that.
But if I may, somebody suggested brining. I was wondering if brining would sort of help to tenderize it a little bit, maybe?
It won't really tenderize. It'll help get flavor into it, into the meat, and also help keep it moister.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, tender comes from just cooking it gently and not overcooking it.
Okay.
All right, Peter, thanks for
that. I recommend wild turkey two ways. Get two of them. One roasted
just in
and one fried.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Peter, thanks, sure, thanks and good luck, and be careful with those wild turkeys out there. Hey, Douglas Keene, I'm wondering if you ever have turkey on the menu. I didn't ask you if Cyrus is open Thursday. Are you going to be open for business? Is Douglas there?
Douglas is here.
Yeah. Are you open Thursday?
No, we are closed.
Do you ever have turkey on the menu? It's such a Thanksgiving entree.
Yeah. No, it's only for holidays at home and things like that. There's just not a huge room for it on the menu. You know, we're kind of a you wouldn't sell a lot of it.
Yeah. Any thoughts from any of the others?
It's unfortunate for the turkey business that they do 99.9% of their business, with the exception of turkey sandwiches.
Turkey sausage, maybe.
Turkey sausage or turkey bacon, this one day. And I find that the day after Thanksgiving is often some of the best food, what you do with the leftovers, you know, whether it be we do a brunch hash, we do turkey sandwiches, especially if you got those buttermilk biscuits with all the leftover condiments you have, it'd be great. And then I found last year after my Thanksgiving dinner that I was so inspired by some of the way the food came out that, you know, 2 weeks later I said, you know what, turkeys are now half the price. Let's do it again.
Yeah,
you know?
Talk about economy. That's
great, exactly.
One of my favorite after Thanksgiving is a turkey porridge. Save all the carcasses and whatever you didn't eat, put in a big pot of soup, water and rice, and cook it down, and it just leaves
juke.
Turkey juke.
Huh. So it's kind of like a stew, or
it's a porridge. It's a rice porridge,
yeah.
And essentially, instead of cooking porridge with water and rice, and you know, its probably ratio would be 10 to 1. Water to rice, and you cook it for 2 or 3 hours, and it breaks it all down. But now you got all these roasting and beautiful flavor.
Comfort food.
Very
exactly.
Different.
Ultimate
very food. Different than chicken porridge, because it definitely leaves a different flavor.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Javier from San Jose, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about how the meals have kind of, in my family, gone a little bit with my identity formation as a Mexican-American.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I was younger, I'm 23 years old. When I was younger, all the meals were made by my mother, and she kind of decided things like that. And they were more Mexican in nature. My mom would make tamales, and she would have the family over and things like that. And sort of when I was younger, I just remember I really wanted a traditional Thanksgiving. I wanted turkey. I wanted stuffing. I wanted all these things. And my mom, she didn't kind of have the tools to cook them. She didn't have the recipes and things like that. She wanted things that everyone in our family would enjoy, something that she knew would be a hit with the family. And, you know, for me, I kind of had a lot of influence from popular culture, from television, things like that. And, that, you know, it's not what my friends at school were eating. It was different for me. And I really kind of wanted that. And as I've sort of grown up, I've embraced more of the Mexican Thanksgiving that we have here. And this year is actually the first year that I get to make a decision. So I'm going to be cooking dinner myself. And I've kind of wanted to make it not exactly what we consider a traditional Thanksgiving. I don't really want to make turkey. I've kind of made the decision that I want things to go sort of something easy for me to make, something delicious that the family will enjoy, but still kind of incorporate some of those Mexican things. I think for the dessert, I'm going to go to a nice panaderia here, a Mexican bakery, and kind of find some desserts that everyone's going to like, but still have a meal that will be delicious.
So what's going to be at the front end?
Well, I'm actually thinking of something with chicken, just because it's easier to prepare. I was going to do a chicken stuffed with goat cheese and maybe a little bruschetta.
So you got Joey's attention.
I'm sorry?
No, Joey Altman just perked up. He's like taking notes.
We're coming over for lunch.
Well, I think it'll be delicious. And also maybe some mashed potatoes. My sister kind of likes some of that. And maybe a little on the healthier side, some salad and things like that too. But
Is your family or your folks still around? Are they going to come over?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm going to be here with my family in San Jose. And my mom was kind of frowning on the goat cheese. She's not a big fan, so I'm going to have to do some ricotta and see how that kind of plays over too.
Yeah, good. Well, good luck. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you very much.
All right, Javier, thanks. Let's go now to Sacramento. Jason is on the line. Hi, Jason.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to share an experience I had. A few years ago, I was living and working in South Korea, and we were there during Thanksgiving. And so we couldn't get our hands on a turkey, but we were able to get a whole chicken, and we cooked that up, and we were able to find as many, like, ingredients that we could. We had our parents send, like, instant mashed potatoes to us through the mail, and we'd go to the black market and try to find as many American goods that we could find, and then what else, any other thing that we couldn't find, we went to, like, the Korean markets and stuff, and we put this huge spread together and had all our teacher friends come over. So, like, it was all Australians and New Zealand Kiwis. And
so what was it like celebrating?
I've never experienced it before, so it was kind of fun.
How did it compare to your, you know, childhood memories of Thanksgiving?
It was pretty close. We usually would have a lot of people over and just a huge spread of food and just eat and talk. And the only difference was we were in a different country and it wasn't my immediate family, but it was still that same feeling.
Yeah. So what are you doing this year?
This year I'm actually spending some time with my brother's in-laws in Las Vegas, and we're just doing the traditional Thanksgiving there.
All right. Well, have fun. Enjoy it. Safe travels.
And
thanks. You bet. Let's go now to Sonoma, Douglas Keene's neck of the woods. Janet's on the line. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I was just wondering, Cyrus is such a different type of menu than any typical Thanksgiving dinner. What does Douglas do for a typical Thanksgiving dinner?
Douglas?
I'm going to try to sneak into Charles's restaurant. I think 61 and 62, he won't notice.
Wear a delivery coat.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we do a blend of traditional, non-traditional. I kind of take a back seat. I roast the turkey and make the gravy, and then everyone kind of brings side dishes. There's a lot of vegetarians in the family, so my mom makes some great things. My wife makes some great vegetarian dishes.
Do people feel intimidated, you know, going to your house or having a meal with you where they're cooking?
They love it.
Right, I feel lucky.
Yeah, no, they actually, no, people are great. And I'm a pretty easy critic. I just love to go and have people cook. So it's I'm very much an easy guest. I just usually add a little salt.
Janet, any other questions? Any follow-up? Does that answer your question? Have you been to Cyrus? Have you been there?
Yes, I have. I love it. It's one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah, that's where I had my a recent significant birthday. I won't say which one, but it was great. It was a great meal. Well, thanks, thanks, Janet, for the call. Let's go now to San Francisco. Jamie is on the line. Hi, Jamie.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to share a recipe. It's a vegetarian entree. And I was actually, there's so many recipes that I would love to share, but let me talk about this one. I'm glad that the vegetables like winter squashes have been mentioned and the cornbreads. I mean, the butternut squash, you can roast it and stuff it with wild rice and wild mushrooms and make beautiful soup with a
You're breaking up a little bit, Jamie. Maybe you could...
butternut squash. Can you hear me more better?
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe stop moving around, maybe.
All right. But the recipe I'd like to share is a roasted nut loaf.
You know what? I'm sorry, Jamie. We're gonna have to let you go because you're breaking up. But maybe Annie Somerville, nut loaf. Does that sound like something you've tried?
I have known many nut loafs over the years. Yes, I have, and it's delicious. It is delicious.
Yeah. What kind of nuts?
All nuts, walnuts, cashews, almonds. There's usually some brown rice. It's not the nut loaf I know is not vegan. Brown rice, oftentimes some Gruyere cheese. And eggs to bind, and then some fresh herbs like thyme and parsley, sage.
We got some email here. Renee has a question for you, Charles Fan. Could you please ask Charles to give the buttermilk roll recipe that you keep talking about? I don't know if you can say it off the top of your head or not. Did you say you got it from Spork?
Yeah, it's Bruce, the chef at owner at Sports Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, he moved into a old Kentucky Fried Chicken,
yeah, in Valencia,
and on Valencia Street, and he sort of took the basic Kentucky Fried Chicken and made it better, and the roll is just amazing. And unfortunately, I can't. Since I don't own it, I can't give it to you.
Well, Renee, maybe you can go in and tell them Charles sent you. Maybe they'll give it to you. Shiloh from Oakland writes, I prefer preparing fewer options to more. I've always felt oppressed by the notion that I have to prepare a plethora of dishes on Thanksgiving, most of which are so heavy I take two bites and I'm stuffed. In past years, I've made turkey with thyme-infused popovers, gravy, a vegetable, and that's it. Simple. This year, wine-braised short ribs, celery root apple puree, a salad, apple crisp, and then a wok. Pretty good. We do tend to overeat, don't we? But that sounds Joey.
Hello, if you can't be in the game, get out. I mean, it's the Super Bowl of Thanksgiving meals, man. That's what it's about. It's not about being judicious or, you know,
moderate.
Moderate. Moderation is great in moderation, and Thanksgiving is not the day to be moderate.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like to offer a recipe. It's a recipe that I recently, well, in the last few years, have really become excited about. It's using root vegetables because I think so many people overlook root vegetables because they're really inexpensive, which, you know, going back to being economical. Turnips, parsnips, rutabagas, celery root, they're out there. They're at their prime of their season right now, but a lot of people are just stumped how to use them. And one of the easiest recipes is, and it's in my book Without Reservations, peel them, cut them into large chunks, and then in a large skillet, just boil honey, like a half a cup of honey, until the honey starts to turn a dark amber color, just on the verge of caramelizing, and then add the raw cut peeled root vegetables, a little bit of salt, pepper, maybe some thyme, and then just stir it around a little bit, and then turn the heat down and just let it braise. And what happens is the caramel honey pulls the juices out of the root vegetables and comes down to a sauce, and then it sort of pushes it back into the root vegetables, and you can just let that simmer for about a half an hour, finish it in the oven, and they come out this glazed honey sweet, but with the flavor of each of the root vegetables being still intact. And it's gorgeous, and it goes great with turkey.
You don't need any more liquid, cooking liquid?
No, there's enough liquid in the root vegetables that come out when it goes into the caramel. What I sometimes do is add a little bit of butter right at the end just to give it that French kiss of like that little richness that we love to do so much as chefs.
Nice. And of course, they make great soups too.
Right, and absolutely. At the end, you can just puree it all up and you get soup.
Yeah, good. Let's go to San Mateo now. Clarissa is on the line. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
I wanted to say that I'm from New York, and I'm living in San Mateo, California right now, and I hosted my first Thanksgiving. I had all my friends who are from all over the country as well come together for a potluck, and making my first turkey was quite an experience. I made a herb butter, and I put it under the skin, and it turned out so perfect. I've never had such a tasty, juicy turkey in my whole life, and my friends agreed, and it was just awesome to have all different foods from food from Bulgaria, food from Boston, traditional foods and not so traditional. It was wonderful.
Did you brine the turkey?
No, actually, I didn't. I just used the herb butter. I did that the night before, put it in the fridge overnight, and then I started it at 400 degrees and took the temperature down every 2 hours, which usually people do the opposite.
Yeah. How long did you roast it for?
I think about 4.5 hours was perfect.
Yeah, it can be a little tricky, can it, Joy, to get it just right?
Well, I'd also like to hear Doug weigh in on this. My philosophy, and this changed a number of years ago after a conversation with Harold McGee, who wrote the book On Cooking. It's sort of like the chemistry science behind cooking techniques. And one of the traditional ways most people do large roast or turkeys or prime ribs or whatever, hot oven, so you sear it supposedly and then turn it down and then slow cook. When actuality, what's actually better, which I find gives a juicier end product, whether it be turkey or roast, is to start off slow, like 250, 300, and let the proteins gently set up. And this also allows the meat, especially a big piece of meat, to all come up to heat together. And then the final 10, 15 minutes, turn the heat up so it caramelizes the outside and gets nice and brown. Doug, what's your philosophy on that?
You know, I've actually done it both ways, and I think both ways will work. I've done it where I've started at 500 and then dropped it down to about 275 for the last half hour, 45 minutes. I actually think the most important thing is pulling that bird out and letting it rest outside of the oven, letting it cook, because it's going to continue to cook for another half hour to 45 minutes if it's a big bird on the bone.
Correct.
And it's going to overcook. So if you take it to like the 150 or whatever they tell you to take it to in the oven, it's going to go to 175 and you're going to have a dead turkey. You need to pull it out a little bit under while it's still juicy and then let it rest for at least a half hour before you touch it.
And do you cover it while it's resting?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you want to try to keep it warm, sure. If not, you let it rest and then throw it back in the oven right before you serve it to get it warmed up again. It also gives you a chance to look. If you're not sure that it's cooked all the way under the breast, you could always throw it right back in the oven and finish it on the breast and a little bit of the pan juices.
Charles, man?
I like to temper. I like to bring my turkey out first thing in the morning to get a room temperature.
Right.
And most tried and true method is also have a meat thermometer.
Yeah.
You got to look at it.
Where do you stick it, right? Under the leg? Or?
Either under the leg or the breast because, or they come with – some turkey come with these little red popping thing.
The pop-out thing. But the pop-out thing,
accurate?
If you wait for that, then I think Doug is right. It typically will be overcooked.
Yeah.
Because the manufacturer is just – or the processor is just thinking liability.
Yeah.
I want to cook till I know that I'm out of the woods.
All right, let's go back to up to Healdsburg. Andy is on the line. Hi, Andy.
Hi there. I was going to actually ask Chef Keen, but any chef there, I'm more familiar with Chef Keen's food than the other chef there, if they have any really wonderful cranberry recipes.
Cranberry sauce, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Douglas Keen?
Yeah, I've got one that we just did in the Chronicle, and it's very simple. It's cranberries with a little bit of cranberry juice, a little bit of oranges, some cinnamon sugar. It's all kind of boiled together. We put a little bit of ginger in there for a kick. And it's actually, if you go to sfgate.com, the recipe was just published in the Turkey Cook-Off. It is about as simple as a cranberry recipe as you can ask for.
Yeah, and cranberry sauce generally is. Annie, what about you?
We have a really good cranberry pear relish, which is on the menu right now, and it's taking fresh cranberries, cooking them up with sugar, a little orange juice, and then we just let that cook until the cranberries are just to that point where they're just still holding together but
haven't popped
nice
yet.
And bubbly. And then we put diced pears in there, and just they soften up as the cranberry sauce cools, and it's a nice one.
You ever use maple syrup or some other?
Absolutely. I mean, you can really – there are so many different things you can do there.
Yeah. Charles Fan, any cranberry – it's not really something you see in Vietnamese cuisine much.
Get it from Doug.
One of my favorites is a cranberry – it's a sort of a blend of the two of yours, but cranberries cooked up with some sugar and then fuyu persimmon, slice or peel that and dice that up and put that in with apples, pears, ginger, fuyu, and the cranberries. And it's just really beautiful colors. You get that bright red, that orange, and then the apple colors. Yes. And the ginger, I think, is great with the cranberries. You get that nice tart and tangy and that little bit of spice. Perfect accompaniment to that rich turkey.
Great.
I think one thing we might be missing is that it goes really well with vodka, too.
Oh, yeah.
Joey's on it. All right. Thanks very much. Listen, we've got about 2 minutes left. I'm going to ask each of you, starting with you, Joey, just Thanksgiving advice, and you can go anywhere you want with 20 seconds.
Thanksgiving, when you're having people come over, if you don't want to make it a potluck, at least if people offer to bring something, allow them to. Once people are involved in putting the meal on, they're engaged, they're co-hosting the party with you, and it takes the burden off of you to do everything. It makes it that much more fun.
All right. Charles Fan.
I would say have your traditional turkey and all your side dishes, but champion one special item, whether or not it's a Vietnamese appetizer or the dinner roll. I think it will give excitement and story, and everybody looking forward to that one thing.
All right. Annie Somerville.
Well, mine is go out and enjoy the beautiful day, get a lot of exercise, have yourself prepared, having done some advanced preparations so you can do that, and then get together with friends and family, and hopefully it is a potluck experience, and get to enjoy all the dishes.
All right, Douglas Keene, you're hitting clean up here.
I think you have to remember that it's about spending time with friends and family and not a performance. And so try to do, like Annie said, do things ahead of time, but have things ready so they can be warmed up and so you can enjoy the day with everyone else. No one wants to see you stressing out, having fun.
Absolutely. All right, thanks so much. Douglas Keene from Cyrus up in Healdsburg, thanks to you. Thanks also to Charles Fan from Slanted Door, Joey Altman from Miss Pearl's Jam House, and Annie Somerville from Greens. And thanks to all of you for sharing your Thanksgiving questions and memories with us. Our engineer today, Danny Bringer. Forum is produced by Dan Zoll, Kevin Guillory, and Judy Campbell. I'm Scott Schaefer here today for Michael Krasny. Dave Iverson will be here tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.